Janita Minandasya, Janajana Salakaya, Chaksu Sumilitan, Janatasmai, Sri Gurvena Maha, Sri Jaitanya Manubhistam, Stapitam, Janabutale, Sayam Rupa Kadamayam, Dadati Sapanashikam. Bancha Gopa Tubias Cha, Kripa Sanduve, Bacha Patitanam, Pabinebio, Bashamebio, Namona Maha. Reading the prayers by Prahlad Maharaj in Harivarsh to Lord Nrisimhadev. And he's first, as we read yesterday, he's first requested Lord Nrisimhadev with his hard thunderbolt-like nails and teeth remove from his heart the demoniac desire for fruitive activities. He's also asked the Lord to remove the envy from his heart and the heart of all living entities. He prayed for peace for everyone, that everyone will feel great peace and mental satisfaction. Removing the envy from our heart is really at the essence of Krishna consciousness. And that envy springs from Krishna. Krishna bhule se jivanadir bahimuk. And then in the verse that we've already read, but we're reading quite a few of the purports here because they're so powerful. He's asking here in text 10, "My dear Lord, remove all the material attachments from my heart. We pray that we may never feel attraction for the prison of family life consisting of home, wife, children, friends, bank balance, relatives, and so on. If we do have some attachment, let it be for devotees." What kind of devotees? Whose only dear friend is Krishna. A person who is actually self-realized and who has controlled his mind is perfectly satisfied with the bare necessities of life. This kind of person, let me be attached to him. Because if we become attached to an exalted personality who has taken shelter of Krishna, the result is freedom from the material world. We ourselves develop that same attachment to Krishna by hearing from him. But if we develop attachment to mundanity, to family life, to all the paraphernalia surrounding family life, the house, the thick carpet, the land, this, that, then that means that those desires and those attachments will cause our future cycling in the wheel of samsara, of birth and death. Such a person who doesn't gratify his senses, doesn't desire that, he doesn't try that, such a person quickly advances in Krishna consciousness, whereas others who are too attached to material things finds advancement very difficult. So he wants to remove his envy from the heart. He wants to remove the desire for fruitive activities from within his heart. And he wants to remove, he's praying, of course he's already beyond this, Prahlad is, he wants to remove the attachments, material attachments from his heart. So why? Because when these three things are gone, he can advance in devotional service, develop his love for Krishna. Prabhupada's purport. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was requested to explain the duty of a Vaishnava, a Krishna conscious person, he immediately said, "Asatsang tyag evaishnava char." The first business of a Vaishnava is to give up association of persons who are not devotees of Krishna and who are too attached to material things, wife, children, bank balance, and so on. Prahlad Maharaj also prays to the personality of Godhead that he may avoid the association of non-devotees attached to the materialistic way of life. If he must be attached to someone, he prays to be attached only to a devotee. A devotee is not interested in unnecessarily increasing the demands of the senses for gratification. Of course, as long as one is in this material world, one must have a material body, and it must be maintained for executing devotional service. The body can be maintained very easily by eating Krishna prasad. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati taraham bhakti paritam asnami paritatmana. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I will accept it, Krishna says, asnami paritatmana. Why should the menu be unnecessarily increased for satisfaction of the tongue? Devotees should eat as simply as possible, otherwise attachment for material things will gradually increase, and the senses being very strong will soon require more and more material enjoyment. Then the real business of life, to advance in Krishna consciousness, will stop. Text 11. So what is the methodology of removing these material attachments? Text 11 explains, by associating with persons for whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, is the all in all, one can hear of his powerful activities and soon come to understand them. So that is the benefit of association, that one hears about Krishna. And then the benefit of hearing about Krishna is that one's heart is purified, attachment to Krishna develops, one understands who Krishna is, one realizes something about that, and one becomes detached naturally from the world of matter. The activities of Mukunda are so potent that simply by hearing of them, one immediately associates with the Lord. For a person who constantly and very eagerly hears narrations of the Lord's powerful activities, what an incredible promise is within the prayers of Prahlad. For a person who constantly and very eagerly hears narrations of the Lord's powerful activities, the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, in the form of sound vibration, enters within his heart and cleanses it of all contamination. So how to get free of the envy, of the fruit of desires, of the material attachments? Associate with devotees of a high caliber, whose Krishna, whose everything is wrapped up in Krishna, and hear from them about Krishna constantly, eagerly, and then Krishna will be present in that, and he will cleanse the heart. He himself will cleanse the heart of all abhadrani, inauspiciousness. He cleanses it of all contamination. On the other hand, although bathing in the Ganges diminishes bodily contaminations and infections, this process and the process of visiting holy places can cleanse the heart only after a long time while associating with devotees and hearing from them, awakens within the heart very rapidly a desire to be with Krishna, to serve Krishna. Therefore, who is the sane man who will not associate with devotees to quickly perfect his life? Bhavushadhi Shutamana Brahmat. This is the medicine. Prabhupada's purport. Bathing in the Ganges can certainly cure one of many infectious infectious diseases, but it cannot cleanse one's materially attached mind, which creates all kinds of contaminations in material existence. So this is really the problem, the materially contaminated mind. However, one who directly associates with the Supreme Lord by hearing of his activities cleanses the dirt from his mind very soon comes to Krishna consciousness. Sutta Goswami confirms this in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, 17th verse, Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Vidyanta Stoya Vadrani Vidunoti Saritsatam. The Supreme Lord within everyone's heart becomes very pleased when a person hears narration of his activities. He becomes very pleased when we become desirous of hearing about him. And he personally cleanses the dirt from the mind of the listener. Vijanta Stoya Bhadrani Vidunoti. He washes off all dirt from the mind. If one can cleanse his mind, he immediately comes to his original position of Krishna consciousness. And thus his life becomes successful. Therefore, all the great saints in the devotional line very strongly recommend the process of hearing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced the congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra to give everyone a chance to hear Krishna's holy name. For simply by hearing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, one becomes purified, Cheto Darpanam Arjanam. Therefore, our Krishna consciousness movement is chiefly engaged in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra all over the world. So that's an instruction for the as to the chief engagement of the Krishna consciousness movement, is to make ourselves and others, to help make ourselves and others Krishna conscious, conscious of Krishna. Krishna bhakti rasito bhavato mati, tasting Krishna, the sweet taste of Krishna's association by chanting Hare Krishna and hearing about him. After one's mind becomes cleansed by chanting Hare Krishna, one gradually comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness and then reads books like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the Nectar of Devotion. In this way, one becomes more and more purified of material contamination. So what is that hearing that Prabhupada is recommending? He's equating that hearing from exalted devotees with reading his books. In this way, one becomes more and more purified of material contamination. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Nasta Preesha Bhadresu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Utamasloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtaki. By regularly hearing the Bhagavatam and rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is practically destroyed. And loving service unto the glorious Lord, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Very advanced stage, actually, at this point. Bhagavatam is talking about an advanced stage. Come sit here. Thank you. In this way, simply by hearing of the powerful activities of the Lord, the devotee's heart becomes almost completely cleansed of material contamination. And thus his original position as an eternal servant who is part and parcel of the Lord becomes manifest. While the devotee engages in devotional service, the passion and ignorant modes of material nature are gradually vanquished. And then he acts only in the mode of goodness. At that time he becomes happy and gradually advances in Krishna consciousness. So this is the main method of bhakti, of advancement, hearing and chanting. And then smaranam, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, remembering Krishna. All the great acharyas strongly recommend that people be given a chance to hear about the Supreme Lord. That's the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement, and in giving others a chance to hear about Krishna, we also hear about Krishna. Then success is assured. Prabhupada also said in a letter one time that unless there is preaching, the whole institution becomes rubbish, useless. And when there is preaching, there is life. So people be given a chance to hear about the Supreme Lord, then success is assured. The more we cleanse the dirt of material attachment from our hearts, the more we will be attracted to Krishna's name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and activities. This is the sum and substance of the Krishna consciousness. What's the final word of the sentence? This is the sum and substance of the Krishna consciousness movement. This is what it means to be in the Hare Krishna movement, Prabhupada's International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And the result of hearing, Prabhupada explains some of the results. Wonderful results. Here is more, said by Prahlad, a very famous verse. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana savar gunatatra samaste sura harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna manorate nasati davato bahi. All the demigods and their exalted qualities, such as religion, knowledge, and renunciation, become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes, yes, dear, where, of whom, in whom there is bhakti, bhagavati, akinchana. One who is performing bhakti to bhagavati, to the Supreme Lord, akinchana, without any motive or attachment. Savaya. Gunas tatra samasteisura. Within such a person will reside all the qualities, good qualities that demigods possess. The potency of unalloyed devotion will burn away all the impurities. On the other hand, a person devoid of devotional service and engaged in material activities has no good qualities. What does that mean? That they're all horrible people, and that they won't be good to you, they won't give you a break ever, as soon as they see you, they'll kick you. Is that what it means? No, but talking about good qualities here. Does it mean that no person who is not a devotee has any good qualities? No clean person who is not a devotee, no kind, in Prabhupada's purport, describes the 26 qualities of a devotee. Sri Radharaman. But that's not what it says. It says has no good qualities. A person devoid of devotional service and engaged in material activities has no good qualities. Meaning these 26. Yeah.
Because they have no contact with pure goodness. So they only have contact with the material modes that are always changing. So their good qualities also always change.
Yeah, that's... And because, yes, it's always going to be changing, so one can't rely on those good qualities, the kindness, the magnanimity, the mildness, the peacefulness, because the material qualities are all shifting. And also, what the rest of the verse, manaratena asato davato bahi, because by mental speculation in the temporary material world, his mind is running always. Even if he is adept, this is translation, even if he is adept at the practice of mystic yoga or the honest endeavor of maintaining his family and relatives, he must be driven by his own mental speculations. I must engage in the service of the Lord's external energy. How can there be any good qualities in such a man? In other words, that if one possesses, is living in his relationship with Krishna, the modes of material nature don't touch him. But also, if someone came along and said to him, I will trade you $50 if you give up your relationship with Krishna. And in this analogy that we're using, it could be any material thing. $50. Oh, no, I won't take $50. $100, $200, $1 million, $10 million, $1 billion, or the whole world, or being Brahma, controlling the whole world. He has the greatest thing, and he won't give up Krishna if he truly has Krishna, in relationship with Krishna, for anything. He is fixed in that. But a person who doesn't have Krishna, whatever quality that he may have, there is always a price. There is always a price. It's just a matter of what that price is. And he will give it up. When he finds something better, he will give up what he has. If his mildness, this is one of the truthfulness, mildness, magnanimity, satisfied having no possessions, if he finds that having possessions will bring him more pleasure, or a particular possession, or if he finds that he wants something material, he will give up his truthfulness, he will give up whatever vows he has, he will give up his mildness, he will give up his kindness to anyone. It's just a matter of what price it is. And everyone in the material world has a price, because manaratain asato davatobati mati. His mind is trying to grasp on something material. So when that material object comes along, or he has hope to get it, everything can be finished, and then the modes of material nature will shift, and whatever good qualities he has, and he may truly have great, great tendencies for good qualities, but ultimately they are not springing from the depth of his soul, and they shift. Because he must, as the verse explains, engage in the service of the Lord's external energy. Maya is capturing him. So it's just a matter of a price, and he'll give up any of these qualities. But an exalted devotee, one who is living in his relationship with Krishna, he will not give up that for anything. There's no price in the material world that can tempt him. Sandrandarandavasheshatma. He's enjoying a pleasure on the highest platform, of a different quality, of a spiritual quality. So there's nothing in the material world that will compare to that. Prabhupada's purport. As explained in the next verse, Krishna is the original source of all living entities. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 15:7. Where Krishna says, Mamai vangso jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana manashastanindriyani prakriti stani karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they're struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. All living entities are part and parcel of Krishna. And therefore, when they revive their original Krishna consciousness, they possess all the good qualities of Krishna in a small quantity. When one engages himself in the nine processes of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanam, Vedanam, one's heart becomes purified and he immediately understands his relationship with Krishna. He then revives his original quality of Krishna consciousness. In the Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 8, there is a description of some of the qualities of a devotee. For example, Sri Pandit Haridas is described as being very well behaved, tolerant, peaceful, magnanimous, and grave. In addition, he spoke very sweetly. His endeavors were very pleasing. He was always patient. He respected everyone. Because why does such a great soul have these qualities? Because his center, his anchor is in the spiritual world. He is deep. Prabhupada was once walking by the Pacific Ocean, and he was seeing, why is the Pacific Ocean called Pacific, pacified? Because it is always so peaceful. So Prabhupada said, why is it peaceful? And no one answered. He said, because it is deep. So depth in Krishna consciousness, brings out these qualities to an undisturbable level, because one becomes deep. He worked for everyone's benefit. His mind was free of duplicity, and he was completely devoid of malicious activities. No malice. These are all original qualities of Krishna. They're good. And when one becomes a devotee, they automatically become manifest. See, Krishnadas Kaviraj, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, says that all good qualities become manifest in the body of a Vaishnava, and that only by the presence of these good qualities can one distinguish a Vaishnava from a non-Vaishnava. What was that? What was that last line? Anyone remember it? Yeah, that was the last part. Only by these qualities, only by the presence of these good qualities, can one distinguish a Vaishnava from a non-Vaishnava. What does this mean? What does it mean? Only by the presence of these qualities can one distinguish a Vaishnava from a non-Vaishnava. What does it mean? A Vaishnava will have these qualities. A non-Vaishnava won't. So that means if one is a Vaishnava devotee, will he have those qualities? And if one doesn't have those qualities, what it means? What? It means that is not yet deep. Not yet actually a Vaishnava. Aspiring maybe to be a Vaishnava, but not yet a Vaishnava. Krishnadas Kaviraj lists the following 26 good qualities of a Vaishnava. He is very kind to everyone. He does not make anyone his enemy. He is truthful. He is equal to everyone. No one can find any fault in him. He is magnanimous. He is mild. He is always clean. He is without possessions. He works for everyone's benefit. He is very peaceful. He is always surrendered to Krishna. He has no material desires. He is very meek. What does meek mean? Humble. In the Bible it says, the meek shall inherit the earth. He is steady. He controls his senses. He does not eat more than required. He is not influenced by the Lord's illusory energy. He offers respect to everyone. He does not desire any respect for himself. He is very grave. What does that mean, that he is grave? Sober. What does it mean? What does grave mean according to the impractical terms. What does sobriety mean? Yeah. And the nectar devotion, does anyone know what the quality of gravity is defined as?
No one knows his intention.
His mind is very deep. No one can tell unless he reveals his mind what he's thinking. Very sober, not frivolous. Deep in thought, deep in action. He is very grave. He's meek, he is steady, he controls the senses. He does not eat more than required, he is not influenced by the Lord's illusory energy, he offers respect to everyone, he does not desire any respect for himself, he is grave, he is merciful, he is friendly, he is poetic, he is expert, he is silent. Vaishnava qualities. What does it mean when the quality is no one can find fault, any fault in him? What does that mean? What does it mean that no one can find any fault in him? He's faultless. He doesn't act with any fault. Not that no one can find the. It's not the weight isn't on the. The person those other than himself, he acts in a faultless way. So therefore no one can find fault in him. Text 13. Just as aquatics, this is Prahlad's words. Just as aquatics always desire to remain in the vast mass of water, all conditioned living entities naturally desire to remain in the vast existence of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, if someone very great by material calculations fails to take shelter of the Supreme Soul, but instead becomes attached to material household life, his greatness is like that of a young low-class couple. One who is too attached to material life loses all good spiritual qualities. And the final verse. Therefore, O demons, give up the so-called shelter of family life and simply take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nrisimhadev, which are the actual shelter of fearlessness. Don't take shelter of family life, thinking that these personalities will protect you, save you. Don't make them your shelter. Instead, take shelter of Lord Nrisimhadev. Prahlad Maharaj is one to speak on this topic especially because he didn't take shelter of his father. His father promised him everything if he would give up the worship of Vishnu. But no. He rejected his father's instructions, his shelter, and fully took shelter of Lord Nrisimhadev. And was thereby free from all anxiety and fearlessness. Entanglement in family life is the root cause of material attachment. Indefatigable desires, unlimited, unstoppable, non-tiring desires, increasing desires, moroseness, anger, despair, fear, and the desire for false prestige, all of which result in the repetition of birth and death. We'll read the purport before this. Although crocodiles are very fierce animals, they are powerless when they venture out of the water into land. When they're out of the water, they cannot exhibit their original power. They have long tails that are so powerful. They just grab you and pull you right out into the water. Similarly, the all-pervading Supersoul, Paramatma, is the source of all living entities, and all living entities are part and parcel of him. When the living entity remains in contact with the all-pervading Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead, he manifests his spiritual power, exactly like as the crocodile exhibits his strength in the water. When we're in the spiritual atmosphere, we're like a crocodile in water. Means that we manifest all these spiritual qualities. In other words, the greatness of the living entity can be perceived when he's in the spiritual world, engaged in spiritual activities. So we should want to be in that atmosphere, always in love with Krishna. Many householders, although well-educated in the knowledge of the Vedas, become attached to family life. They're compared herein to crocodiles out of water, for they are devoid of spiritual strength. Their greatness is like that of a young husband and wife, who, though uneducated, praise one another and become attracted to their own temporary beauty. This kind of greatness is appreciated only by low-class men with no qualification. Everyone should therefore seek the shelter of the Supreme Soul, the source of all living entities. No one should waste time, his time, in the so-called happiness of materialistic household life. In the Vedic civilization, this type of crippled life is allowed only until one's 50th year, where one must give up family life and enter either the order of Vanaprastha, independent retired life for cultivation of spiritual knowledge, or sannyas, the renounced order in which one completely takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that ends Prahlad's prayers, praying to remove all the contaminations from his heart and taking shelter of the devotees and hearing about Krishna and the association of devotees and that inspiring Krishna to cleanse the heart of envy, material attachment, and fruitive desires. And the admonishment at the end of Prahlad's prayers is, don't become attached and take shelter of household life. Many of Mahaprabhu's associates were married, but they didn't seek their shelter in that, and they were attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's where their attachment lied.
In the obviously, the male husband, his spiritual wife takes priority, it seems. Well, everyone's spiritual wife, but these instructions are particularly directed towards men. So, do women tolerate or deal with this out of subjugation or out of understanding?
Out of culture and their natural tendency. And they would share naturally. And also they were very, very pious and religious and spiritually inclined. That would be part of the matching of the husband and the wife. There's the matching of the gana. There are three gunas or groups. There is Deva, Manusha, and Rakshasa. So important is that the partner is matched. So if they have a similar temperament, so if the man has these godly qualities, then he will be married to a wife with similar spiritual qualities. But it's up to, in the Vedic culture, certainly it was up to the man to lead, but the woman was the, also she took care of the house, the deities. But it's an emphatic instruction that we hear, and it applies to us. Yeah, that's maybe to the point. But your point is that in Vedic culture, what percentage of the people would actually become renounced? But if they were towards the end of their life, so if they were of higher classes, they would be Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, and Brahmins. They wouldn't, only the Brahmins would take sannyas, but the others would become vanaprastha, renounced, and leave the comforts, because there's such a tendency when one gets older is just simply to want to be comfortable. But what good does that do? Because ultimately we can't be comfortable when death is lurking. So preparing oneself to take shelter of Krishna regardless of the externals and purification of the tendencies.
So, I'm sorry, but there's a tendency to be comfortable. Is that a low class tendency?
It's a natural tendency, but it's an artificial one. It's not a tendency of the soul. The tendency of the soul is to make Krishna comfortable. So if you call it lower class, it's materialistic. It's selfish, and that causes rebirth. So the idea of the Vedic culture, the central principle of the Vedic culture was human life has a purpose. And that purpose is to get out of this wheel of samsara, or at least progress towards getting out, towards liberation. Okay? Yes, or was there something else?
Is that for, because that's not Vaishnava conclusion, so is that for people in general?
But liberation, but that's also the Vaishnava conclusion, but a special kind of liberation, where one doesn't care for liberation, but one only loves Krishna, that's the Vaishnava conclusion, wants to serve Krishna, but that's a liberation certainly. Vimukti, special liberation. Okay, now we're going to hear. If although that I didn't pick up that was for the specifically for men, because everyone should take shelter of Krishna. But here in this next verse, it seems to be specifically for women. In the next section, but it's for everyone really. Text 16. In Ketu Mala Varsha, Lord Kamadev, Prajumna, moves very graciously. His mild smile is very beautiful, and when he increases the beauty of his face by slightly raising his eyebrows and glancing playfully, he pleases the goddess of fortune. Thus he enjoys his transcendental senses. Accompanied during the daytime by the sons of the Prajapati, the predominating deities of the day, and accompanied at night by his daughters, the deities of the night, Lakshmi Devi worships the Lord during the period known as Samvatsara in his most merciful form as Kamadev. Fully absorbed in devotional service, she chants the following mantra. So within the Sanskrit of this verse, the word the Lord is called Maya Mayam Rupam. Maya Mayam Rupam. And there are many translations of that. The Mayavadis will translate it as a form of Maya. But the devotees, the Acharyas, show that the Lord's form is not of Maya, but rather Maya Mayam means very affectionate to his devotees. Jiva Goswami has explained. Deeply merciful. Kripa Pracharam. Mayamayam means deeply merciful. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Prabhupada explains in his purport, explains Mayamayam by dividing it into the words Maya and Amayam. He explains these words to indicate that because the living entity is covered by the disease of illusion, the Lord is always eager to deliver his devotee from the clutches of Maya and cure him of the disease caused by the illusory energy. So Lakshmi Devi worships this beautiful form of the Lord, of Kamadev. There's some points on, I think it's over here, that it's a spiritual form, or the Lord in a material form, which is the same as a spiritual form. But in any case, text 18. Here's Lakshmi Devi's fully absorbed in devotional service, Lakshmi Devi chants the following mantras. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rishikesh, the controller of all my senses and the origin of everything. So he is Rishikesh, he is the master of the senses. That means that everyone's senses are meant for his pleasure. Rishikena, Rishikesh, Sevanam, Bhakti Uchite. As the supreme master of all bodily and mental activities, he is the only enjoyer of their results. The five sense objects and 11 senses, including the mind, are all his partial manifestation. He supplies all the necessities of life, which are his energy, and thus are none different from him. And he is the cause of everyone's bodily and mental prowess, which is also none different from him. And he is Rishikesh. Again, that means that all these different things, the senses, the necessities of life, of bodily energy, they're meant for his pleasure. And the results of all these are meant for, all these actions are meant for his satisfaction. Indeed, because every living entity is fully dependent upon him, he is the husband and provider of all necessities for all living entities. In the Vedic culture, the husband is called the Pati, the protector, provider. So who is everyone's protector and provider in this world? It is Krishna. He's providing everything. Without him providing, we would be dead in a moment. He provides our life, the breath, the power of the senses, the power of our energy, the life force. So indeed, he is the husband and provider of all necessities for all living entities. The purpose of all the Vedas is to worship him. Therefore, let us offer him our respectful obeisances. May he always be favorable towards us in this life and the next. We'll read some of Prabhupada's purport. Krishna is the active principle of everything we need for our maintenance. So our existence is actually meant for his pleasure. So thinking in that way, how could I please Krishna, is Bhagavad Dharma. That is the natural consciousness of the living entity. That is Sanatana Dharma, the eternal religion of the living entity. That is that which is the ultimate of every religious system. Thinking always how to please Krishna. And the perfection of that type of thinking is exhibited by the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis. Prabhupada's purport continues. This verse, offering respectful obeisances unto the Lord, was composed by Rama, the goddess of fortune, and is full of spiritual power. Under the guidance of a spiritual master, everyone should chant this mantra and thus become a complete and perfect devotee of the Lord. One may chant this mantra for complete liberation from material bondage, and after liberation, one may continue to chant it while worshipping the Supreme Lord in Vaikuntha Loka. All mantras, of course, are meant for this life and the next life, as Krishna himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita, Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantas chadrita vata namashantas chamam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me. The great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. A devotee who both in this life and the next chants the Maha Mantra or any mantra is called Nitya Yukta Upasaka, one who is eternally worshipping me. My dear Lord, you are certainly the fully independent master of all the senses. Therefore, all women who worship you by strictly observing vows because they wish to acquire a husband to satisfy their senses, are surely under illusion. They do not know that such a husband cannot actually give protection to them or their children, nor can he protect their wealth or duration of life. For he himself is dependent on time, fruit of results, and the modes of nature, which are all subordinate to you. 20. He alone who is never afraid, but who, on the contrary, gives complete shelter to all fearful persons, can actually become a husband and protector. Only Krishna is actually the husband, the protector. He is Rishikesh of all living entities. So this is strong preaching to women, but also to everyone. Therefore, my Lord, you are the only husband, and no one else can claim this position, Lakshmi Devi. And we'll hear in the 8th canto how she was, after she took her birth from the ocean of that was being churned, the ocean of milk, she looked around and she saw that no one was actually suitable for her to wed until she came to Lord Vishnu. And she understood he is the actual husband who is beyond, who has no fault, because he is the only one who can protect. And every living entity, whether male or female, really wants to be protected, but it is very much, especially in the female mentality. So where will we get protection from? There is only one place. Therefore, my Lord, you are the only husband, and no one else can claim this position. If you were not the only husband, you would be afraid of others. Therefore, persons learned in the Vedic literature accept only your lordship as everyone's master, and they think no one else a better husband and protector than you. We'll read Prabhupada's, that was text 20, but we'll read Prabhupada's purport, or some of Prabhupada's purport to 19. In this verse, Lakshmi Devi, Rama, shows compassion towards women who worship the Lord for the benediction of possessing a good husband. Although such women desire to be happy with children, wealth, a long duration of life, and everything dear to them, they cannot possibly do so. In the material world, the so-called husband is dependent on the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many examples of a woman whose husband, being dependent on the result of his own fruit of actions, cannot maintain his wife, her children, her wealth, or her duration of life. Therefore, factually, the only real husband of all women is Krishna, the Supreme Husband. Because the gopis were liberated souls, they understood this fact. Therefore, they rejected their material husbands and accepted Krishna as their real husband. That's what they said when Krishna called them and said, you should go home. The night of the Rasa dance, you should go home. You should. There is no higher religious principle of dharma than service to the husband. And one of the replies was, the gopis was, but you are a husband. You are the husband of all living entities. Therefore, they rejected their material husbands and accepted Krishna as their real husband. Krishna is the real husband, not only of the gopis, but of every living entity. Everyone should perfectly understand that Krishna is the real husband of all living entities, who are described in the Bhagavad Gita as Prakriti, female, not Purusha, male. In Bhagavad Gita 10.2, only Krishna is addressed as Purusha. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan, Purusham Shashvatam Dibyam Adi Devam Ajam Vibhu. You are the Supreme Brahman, the ultimate, the supreme abode, the and purifier, the absolute truth, and the eternal divine person. You are the primal God, transcendental and original, and you are the unborn and all pervading beauty. So Lakshmi Devi's prayers are very nice purports written by Srila Prabhupada about these prayers. So if Krishna allows, next Wednesday we will continue with our prayers. We read 20 and then 21. Because it's such an interesting, we'll start on 21, such an interesting concept, because everyone prays and is seeking the favor of Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune. But who is she seeking the favor of? Everyone wants good fortune to descend upon them. No one wants bad fortune. But who is the goddess of fortune, the personification of good fortune? Where does she seek protection and good fortune and shelter? That is the Lord. Quite interesting. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes. Yes. Also very interesting, very wonderful.
And one point mentioned was is faultless. So he may be acting faultlessly, but still he can find fault in that person. In various cases, he may be great.
Yeah. But the looking at it from the absolute platform, the living entity only can have one fault, and that is turning his back on Krishna. And if one has turned fully to Krishna, if one is fully serving Krishna, actually on that level, then what he does is inspired by Krishna. And criticisms of him are actually really criticisms of God, saying, God, you should not have done this. This is improper. So that's why we're in the material world. We don't want to accept Krishna's position as the Supreme Lord. Envy of his position as the supreme controller, the omniscient Lord. So we know better. So we're in the material world. That's how I would answer that. Is that? Yeah, he's inspired by Krishna, a pure devotee. Seems like you have something else.
No, I can't. I mean, the common example they give is like even people can find fault at moon, as the moon is very bright and the giving shine, but still then they see the spots and then great size like that. So that means even the people may say that, but he is not affected by that, but he still carries on his service to the Supreme Lord.
Is that what he is, faultless? Is that the quality you were speaking of? Is that what he means? Is that what you think it means? It means.
No, like I'm trying to understand, like, what actually that means. No? Faultless means, like, even though that devotee, he may not be having any fault, but people, who.
I explained what impression of my understanding of what it meant.
Yeah.
There may be other. Anyone else have any other understandings of what it means that he's. Yes. Well, I said that because that means it's not mistake means it's inspired by Krishna. So even though it may appear to be a fault, it's inspired by Krishna. So if Krishna wants something done, how could that be a faulty? That means we'll have to stay in the material world. Does anyone else have any ideas on this? What does it mean, faultless? See faults, but yet he knows that Krishna is working through him.
But he knows the difference.
Knows the difference?
Yeah, between himself and Krishna's workings.
Yeah. Seeing Krishna's mercy in it, that's how he sees, but we can't see like that. We have to see his purity, because Krishna doesn't, for him to engage someone in such intimate service means that the devotee is very, very pure, even though he's seeing faults, actually there are none. And also another way to look at it is that on a simple, he's acting perfectly, his motivation is pure. So he's not going to engage in any of the opposite of these exalted qualities. He's not going to act with malicious, he's not going to be angry at people in a malicious way. He's not touched by the lower modes of material nature. So in that sense he's faultless. His general activities will be in goodness. I think it's a very worthwhile discussion to discuss what the faultlessness or the perfection of a pure devotee is. Because we saw with Prabhupada, even he wore glasses. So like that's an imperfection. It's faulty eyesight. So he has a fault. Or sometimes he would say a Bhagavad Gita verse in a unique way. So is that opposed to perfection? Is that imperfection? So the perfection of a pure devotee is not on those kind of levels. It's on a deeper level. And faultlessness is on a deeper level. That's my understanding. Because he's 100% sincere. There's no fault in what he does. Because everything is done with 100% sincerity. And that means, practically, that Krishna is going to inspire him in his actions. Because he wants to please Krishna. Tadami buddhi yogam tam. Okay, it's after 8. So we'll continue on Wednesday, if Krishna allows. Good question. I think about that a lot. What is perfection and what is faultlessness and what is fault? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Lord Nrisimha Dev ki jai, Lakshmi Devi ki jai, Kamadev ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai.